I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to this episode of After the Credits. I am your host, Marina, and joining me today, as always,
Colleen from 353review.com, Haiku Movie Reviews.
Wow. And Dale from digitaldoodles.com.
A little bit of verbal diarrhea or something there.
Yeah. The cough drop. My teeth are sticking together. Oh, no, no, no.
And you were just so eloquent a moment ago.
I know.
Well, today's show, a couple of reviews, some movie talk, and general, you know, banter. Before we head on with things, come on by row3.com. Leave us some feedback, some comments, or drop us a line, marina@row3.com. Reminder that the Movie Club podcast is getting ready to record next week, so go out, watch the movies, join us in the discussion. The movies this month are Bruce McDonald's Roadkill and Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. Lots of kill in there.
lots of retro in there.
Yeah, well, it's funny because most of the movies so far have been, you know, and I think that's really the idea because you don't want to watch anything too recent, spoil it for people. So at least like this, it's stuff that most people have already seen at least once. But we have a couple of shout outs. Some people are following our requests, which is quite nice.
Wow.
I know, hey? Shannon's probably getting excited. She gets two in a week, twice in a in 2 weeks.
Now, Shannon, the movie moxie,
yeah,
definitely deserves this one because that was a real kicking list that she commented on the last podcast with.
That's right. Yeah, we had requested that folks send us links to, I guess, film festivals
in their area. Yeah,
and she did.
And if you're looking for the rundown for Toronto, man, check the comments.
Yeah, the movie moxie's got a link to all of them apparently for the next couple of months. So that was really cool that she put that together. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
And also shout out to Miss 604.
Rebecca, bon vivant around Vancouver. Yeah, Miss 604.
That was actually quite special because, you know, she's pretty recognizable as a name.
She was selected as one of the top 10 women to watch by one of the local...
Mm-hmm. I was reading that today, so that was really, really cool. And we had a chance to meet her, and I had a chance to finally meet her, because we'd sort of seen her at various things, but never actually been introduced. So, yeah, she's really cool. Miss604.ca?
.com, .com.
We'll link to it in the show notes if you get lost looking for Miss 604.
If you're interested in, entertainment and Canuck happenings around Vancouver.
It's all about the Canucks. Some general, I guess, news to pass along, I guess, if you haven't heard already. I think the whole world knows by now. But Arthur C. Clarke passed away yesterday at the age of 90.
Arthur C. Clarke was one of the first science fiction authors I read. It was him, Isaac Asimov, and Robert Heinlein was what my library had. And
he had
a special place for me. And now he was the last of the three to pass. And a mind.
Wasn't he the guy who came up with the thought of communication satellites in the 40s and geosynchronous orbits in like 45 or something?
You read his story. He one of his stories actually encapsulated the PDA.
And
I didn't even think about it until I saw one that was, they were talking about life recording, and I remembered this story of his. He talked about cloning a lot. It was interesting when the whole Dolly the Lamb thing came up. It was like, well, that's old news. I read about that when I was a teenager. It was science fiction at the time.
Yeah, you know, when I sort of discovered him in passing, that was my door to science fiction. And it started with him and 2001. And then I sort of discovered everything else. But yeah, it's sad that he's gone. It really is. It's a huge loss to the community, the science fiction community, writing community. Just in general.
And, of course, if you're a bit lost, he was the one that did 2001, story.
Space Odyssey, co-wrote it with Stanley Kubrick.
We may actually see Rendezvous with Rama made someday.
Which is my favorite, and I hope they don't... It's my favorite of all of his novels that I've read. And I really hope that they do justice to it, because it's a great story. Great story.
And some great quotes. He was the one with the quote about... Any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. That's not an exact quote, but...
Wow. I don't remember quotes quite as easily as some others, obviously. I'm very bad with that. But yeah, so, in passing. In memoriam, we're remembering him. And then some general news things that have sort of come up over the last week. You can get, we're just going to go through them in passing, like just mention. And if you want more info, there's lots of stuff on the website. The first is the Muppet movie.
Yeah, they're talking about making another Muppet movie.
I don't really know how this came about. Apparently, Jason Segel is interested in doing it.
A couple of people did a really good puppet. This is what I read, a puppet sequence, and they thought, you guys. But I don't know. The voices, for some reason, hearing other people do the voices, I know the son, Jim Henson's son, does Kermit. And I just haven't quite gotten into hearing his Kermit. It isn't quite the same. And the Muppets, when we think of the shows and the movies they did, they really were a thing of their time. Like the Muppet Show, particularly in that format. And I'm not sure that it'll take someone special to be able to update that, I think. So we'll see. I'm a bit trepidatious. If they succeed, hooray. If they don't, scum.
And I don't care enough for the Muppets either way, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, other than Waldorf and Stanton, I really didn't like any of the Muppets. And I can't see my little nephew really, really digging them now, like with everything else he can see kind of thing and do. I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right with a thing of nostalgia about it.
He's more of Fraggle Rock kind of age anyway.
Oh, Fraggle Rock. Now there's some Muppets I can get behind.
Miss Piggy. Moving on. I just wanted to mention that if you haven't heard yet, Heavy Metal 3 is coming. I'm actually quite excited about this. David Fincher is apparently involved. It's going to be small skits directed by a bunch of different directors. It could be really great. It can be really bad. Either way, I'm going to be there.
Number one was kind of fun.
Number one was great. It was the only reason I saw number two in the theater.
I don't know about great, but number one had its moments.
No, it was pretty great. For what it is, it's pretty good. But we'll leave it at that. Not coming from a girl of all people. And in passing as well, I just wanted to mention Crank 3D, which is apparently, I don't know if it's in the works. The directors, Neville, Dean, and Taylor, want to do it because apparently they have this cool rig to do bullet time in 3D. And I'm wondering, you know, it sounds like a really great thing. I'm thinking, okay, you're like 10 years after The Matrix and we're still working with this. I mean, come up with something new, man. Like, it's cool that you're working on it, but, you know, it's just not innovative to me anymore. You know, it's done. But I'm willing to give it a shot if they do it. That's just me.
It's story. It always comes back to story. It's the effects and stuff are cool in short sequences, but overall, it's got to be something about the story.
I don't know. I mean, the first Crank isn't great either.
But
it's still a fun movie.
It's a, yeah.
There's no story there.
Well, there's enough to carry along.
Well, yeah, enough to carry along, but nothing all that great.
No, definitely not that great.
No,
but yeah, kind of a one-watch wonder.
Yeah, I never even wanted to see it a second time. No need to.
No, neither did I.
Whatever. I'll watch Jason Statham in something I like better, so it doesn't matter. Into the reviews.
And yes, nice segue.
Oh, yeah, Jason Statham. Into Jason Statham.
Speaking of better things with Jason
Statham. Well, exactly. This is definitely one of them. We got out to see The Bank Job. Now, what do you guys think now? Based on true events, apparently there's a bunch of stuff. I read a couple of things about what was real and what wasn't. Apparently the pictures aren't real. Princess Margaret never had a threesome.
Like they'd ever let you know about that anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if it had happened, we never would know about it. But, yeah. So
yeah, not in that royal generation.
No, probably not.
The next one, I don't know.
I don't know. It's getting a little weird with those royals. But back to the movie, The Bank Job. About Jason Statham plays a guy that owns a store trying to get ahead of himself.
Well, kind of a low-grade crook.
That, yeah. And they're just, they get,
that bite off something bigger than they can chew.
Yeah, they get the offer for a bank robbery. And things just go wrong. What else is new? Now, what'd you guys think?
I liked it. It wasn't great, but it was enjoyable. Like, I don't regret seeing it at all in the theater, but it, as caper films go, I think I'd rather see the original Italian Job again. I guess I just like a little bit more humor in my capers than there was in it.
Oh, it had its moments, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Much nodding.
Much nodding.
Yeah, sorry, yes, this is in video. Yeah. I found it was a little bit slow in places, and I wasn't sure whether that was a stylistic thing from the director, and it's just because I'm used to such fast-paced movies now, or whether it was just slow. But overall, I really enjoyed the complexity of the story, and the performances were great. It's always good when Statham is on his mark, but there was some really good supporting actors in there as well. And yeah, I almost wouldn't describe this as a caper movie. It isn't that kind of bring them together to do the ultimate kind of job thing, like the Italian Job or the
Ocean's movies.
Yeah. This was really a bit different. And
well, they brought the people they needed together to do the caper. That's exactly what happened.
But it seems like it was more about the characters themselves, not so much about. I mean, because the guy that they bring in for the watch, I mean, they didn't really need that guy, to be honest. I mean, they could have done
not really
him.
No.
But you know, it was sort of like because of the character that he is.
Well, the story needed him more than they did.
They did, yeah. And I don't know. It just seemed to me like it was more about the individuals and what they were going to get out of this at the end than it was about actually pulling off the heist.
And definitely part of the fun I had in the story was the people and what they were storing in the safe deposit boxes and the hilarity that ensued when they disappeared.
Well, the stat at the end of the movie where they're giving you a little bit of information about their real one, like a robbery did happen. They did break into the boxes and what was it?
Bunch of MPs.
Yeah, 96 people refused to actually file a claim because they would not tell them what was in the box.
Yeah.
All of a sudden your mind starts going, what did they have in the safe deposit box they don't want anyone to know about?
And why weren't they smart enough to make something up?
Well,
that was what
exactly.
I thought when I read that.
Well, not that it would make a difference, right? Because insurance probably wouldn't cover it either way. But, you know, I'm not usually a big fan of Saffron Burroughs. I just don't like her. Something about her just rubs me the wrong way. And I liked her here. I thought she was pretty good. But other than that, it was solid. Like, really solid, really enjoyable. Nothing really that stood out for me. Other than the really cool cars and the cool outfits and Jason Statham.
Yeah, if I knew that was the kind of film you kind of liked, I would totally recommend it.
Oh,
you go and see it.
Yeah.
It's a really safe movie. It's the kind of thing that, you don't know what to watch. You're out with the family or whatever. You know, it's a good movie for that. Not for little kids, but...
No, not for little kids.
No, but, you know, as a general... You know, sometimes you're out, and especially for the weekend, you know, you're out and about, what are you going to see? It's really... It doesn't offend anybody.
Unless nudity, you have issues with that. And then
there's a little bit of
TNA.
Yeah, and kind of the torture scene might.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was.
No, it was very well done. It was very well done, but.
That whole political side story that was going on, I'm not sure if I really cared for that much. It just seemed a bit forced, but didn't detract from the film.
That was almost commentary on this. I would spoil it if I went into too much detail about. It was interesting the power that he had because of what he had. I found that aspect of this because a lot of this story was about the power of secrets.
True.
And the fact that he was so protected with that secret.
Yeah.
Was interesting.
But, you know, I don't think that that character was even necessary at all, though.
Not exactly in that form, no.
No, like, they really extended it. And, I mean, like I say, it doesn't... It just seems like it's not really a distraction. It just seems to be there. But it doesn't... Yeah. I didn't find that it added anything else to the movie.
Yeah, that may have been, actually, now that you mention it that way, when I was talking about it kind of seems slow in places.
Mostly the bits with him.
It's some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Or that kind of stuff that just seemed to be in the way of getting on with what we were really interested in, which was the robbery.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean,
But
no
still,
complaint.
I would recommend it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, like you say, a solid movie. It's not going to stand out anywhere.
No.
But definitely, if you want to go in and get your popcorn and see some fun and
just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's Jason Statham, man. Well, I guess it sort of carries on the British tradition. We move from one Brit film to another. The segues are really coming today. This one is Doomsday.
Doomsday.
There's been a lot of talk about this on the site. I mean, the conversation has sort of spiraled out of control. But this is Neil Marshall's follow-up to The Descent. And it's basically a post-apocalyptic smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
All you can eat buffet.
Oh, that was so much better than I could have done.
This was such a great, like...
And just what was in this buffet?
Everything and the bunny.
It was a complete cult movie mashup. He stole from so many different...
No.
Well, not stole, but...
Thank you.
Paid
homage.
So many great ideas from other films and incorporated it into one great big glee fest for
How's that law degree coming, Marina?
Law degree?
Oh, such fine words that you...
Oh,
well, you know.
Well, no, because it's not really... I wouldn't consider... Like, if you said that he was stealing, you would have to say that Tarantino steals.
Okay.
And that there's a whole line of directors that comes down from there that you could say, well, they're all stealing. I really didn't think it was stealing because he took what was already there, but he made it his own. Yeah, he made it his own.
From the moment they showed the main character wearing that eye patch, aka sort of like a snake Plissken, I was sold. I was happy for the rest of the film. There wasn't a second where I didn't enjoy myself. And yeah, there is the inconsistency, like a car that hasn't been moved for 30 years instantaneously starts. The seals haven't been destroyed. The battery's charged up. The cell phone still is charged and... Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's those. No, no. She charged the cell phone in the car.
Oh, well, okay. Then it's already programmed on a network kind of thing. And
you just turn those things on anyways. Isn't that how they all work?
Yeah. there's those little things, but you know what? It didn't matter in this kind of film at all because you were there just for pure fun. Like,
it's true.
Yeah. There was nothing serious about this film at all.
I have to admit, I totally ignored everything about Doomsday on the website. It kind of didn't strike me as interesting right off, but...
You're so missing
it. Now you guys are so...
If this is a slow year, this is going to hit my top 10.
Yeah?
Yeah, if it's a slow year, this has...
So what is the story exactly?
England 2035 or something.
Virus comes to town. Everyone dies. They put up a big wall to protect them between them and the outside.
Right.
30 years later... Outbreak comes back, and they realize some people survived on the other side of the wall.
So they sense
that's the premise of the film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it goes from there to, I don't want to go into what happens on the other side of the wall.
This is kind of like a Carpenter-esque.
The premise is in every trailer, so you're not spoiling anything there, but wow. Malcolm McDowell?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Such greatness. I love that man.
That was pretty good. That was, for me, the best part of the whole movie. Let's not say what it is.
No.
Because we're going to get into spoiler territory. We don't want to go there.
See if my nephew's interested in seeing
it. Oh, your nephew.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, he'll definitely be interested. It's pretty good.
And the lounge scene will just have you in stitches. It's awesome.
The lounge scene.
The punk-a-polistic, you know, with the fine young cannibals.
Yes. Mm. Okay, and actually, I want to mention that Tyler Bates did the soundtrack, the score. And I turned to Colleen and I said, the score is going to rock. Because I've noticed his name coming up in a couple of things that I really, really enjoyed. And it's funny because a lot of people are mentioning the music. Well, good for him because it's about time he gets some recognition, damn it.
He's got the 80s down.
Well, he does this sort of like 80s industrial mix. He does that really well, and he's done it with most of his soundtracks. Like, he did one of the Matrix soundtracks. He did the 300. So that's sort of his style, and it works really well for certain films, and it totally worked here. So I'm a Tyler Bates fangirl. Yeah.
Everyone go out and see this. If you haven't already, go and see it.
I don't know if it's for everybody.
It's for everyone.
Well, you say it's for everyone. The more rational person in me.
If you like the sound of music, you'll like Doomsday.
No.
I like the sound of music. I like Doomsday. It fits.
Well, yeah, I like the sound of music,
there
too.
There you go.
But
that's too... Ew.
Maria over the Alps to get the vaccine. Yeah.
Oh, with I want zombies. To see that. Don't give anybody any more ideas, man. This is going to be a nightmare.
How do you handle a zombie like Maria?
I'm going to be up all night now, writing up a whole new screenplay for...
The Sound of Music?
The Sound of Undead.
The Sound of Undead. Oh, God. But, no, I mean, if you like Escape from New York, Escape from L.A., Mad Max, and the list goes on, you're probably going to enjoy this. If you don't like those, don't go, because you're going to be disappointed, you're going to hate it. But that's the hearty recommendation for Doomsday. It's fun. And Colleen, over to you for...
From the future to the past.
Way back when.
10,000 BC.
Roland Emmerich.
This has been out for a while now. I didn't like it all that much. I went into this doubting I would, so like maybe I'm biased in that. But strangely, the reason why I thought I wasn't going to enjoy this film wasn't why I didn't enjoy this film. I went in going... You know what? Mammoths domesticated, building the pyramids 10,000 years ago. Like, there's so many, like, weird historical sort of, like, what? How? Who? What? I thought I was going to really hate that. You know what? It was just a dull film. It had nothing to... That the historical, like, blunders really didn't detract from what already wasn't a particularly stellar film.
What I want to know is how they could make woolly mammoths not entertaining.
Oh, the woolly mammoths were cool. I'll give them that. Like, that probably gave it an extra star in my mind than it would have got. If they had just had elephants, it probably would have been cool. Even one less. Yes, but the woolly mammoths were very cool.
And the saber-toothed tiger apparently is kind of cool.
Not as cool as the mammoths.
Elephants with sweaters, good.
Yes.
I like that, elephants with sweaters.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that I just never found myself getting interested in the story. I just found it dull. I didn't care for the characters at all. Like, if someone died, I'd be like, oh, well, whatever. Go whatever the hell it is that just killed you. I don't know. It was... very nicely filmed. Like, it was a pretty film in the sense of
it
worked that way. But yeah, you know what? All the cool little gimmicks and all the wonderful shots doesn't save a film from basically being dull.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I say that's too bad because I don't dislike Emmerich or his work. Hey, you know what? You go in knowing what to expect. You know, you're going to get a big blockbuster, lots of special effects.
I've liked Emmerich on his original stories.
Oh, okay. So was Independence Day original?
I believe so.
Because I know that Stargate, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What
I didn't like was his take on Godzilla.
Oh, and I didn't even see that.
Iggyzilla. Oh, if you ever need it, I have it.
No, thanks.
I own it.
No,
it's
thanks.
Good.
Yeah, there were some moments in that movie that... were fun, and there was definitely
the dude from The Professionals in it.
Yeah,
well, it's funny because he actually wrote
Jean Reno.
He wrote the script for Godzilla.
Jean Reno?
No, Emmerich. Did.
Well, he might have, but I mean, Godzilla is not a lizard.
I see what you mean, though. Like original. Well, the only thing that he's written like original screenplay was The Day After Tomorrow and 10,000 BC. Oh, Independence Day.
Yeah. Well. Where he isn't messing with someone else's established.
Yeah.
There was actually a moment in time where they were saying he was going to do James Bond. And that just seemed like an absolute travesty after what he'd done with Godzilla.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But no, I liked Independence Day.
I don't mind it. I liked Stargate.
Stargate.
A little slow in the rewatching, but I still liked it.
Stargate was awesome. It's one of my favorites.
Universal Soldier. Come on now. Come on,
that
now.
Was
is that the
okay.
Jean-Claude Van Damme one? Or?
I think that's Jean-Claude Van Damme, yeah. Come on, how could you not? JVC, man.
Easy, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That movie, and Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, it's all good. Oh, Yeah, he's hit and miss. But, I mean, I don't dislike him for anything.
No, I definitely wouldn't rule a movie out just because he did it.
Yeah.
Unless I would be very careful if it was a franchise that he was given.
That's true.
To do the next movie of.
But I'm still kind of curious to see it. I may rent it at some point.
Yeah, you know what? It might be worth the rental kind of thing. Although,
just for the woolly
again, the woolly mammoths, unless you have a big screen, probably wouldn't look nearly as cool.
I have a huge screen.
Well, I know.
Didn't
you
I tell
do.
You?
Yeah, I have the dinky 17-inch monitor. Hooray!
And we go from woolly mammoths to bunnies?
Bunnies. Well,
our
Easter picks.
Yeah.
The Good Friday edition.
Yeah, the Good Friday edition of movies you should see. So where do we want to start with this? Who wants to go first? Do you guys have some suggestions?
I'll start.
As I look over there.
Yes. My favorite movie of all times. There's nothing that has ever come close to bumping this off.
Can I guess?
Yes. You can.
Harvey?
Yes. Harvey with Jimmy Stewart. There's nothing about this film I don't love. Just something about it just warms the cockles of my heart kind of thing. Like, it just... Everything about it is just so wonderful. And the reason why it's an Easter pick for me is because there's a 6-foot-tall, white, invisible puka, which is in the shape of a rabbit. That is Jimmy Stewart's drinking partner. That's just so wonderful. I can't even tell you.
You have a double bill.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the very large bunny, my second pick is going to be Donnie Darko.
And that's twisted. That is very twisted.
Yes, the bizarre sort of inner voice, gothic bunny kind of thing.
The bunny on crack?
Yes.
LSD or something, I don't know.
Why are you in that stupid bunny suit? Why are you in that stupid human suit? I love that film too.
Do you want me to go next, Dale? I'll go next.
Go next, okay.
I've got bunny movies too. Because, you know, it's just the way things are going. Because, you know, I don't know anything about Easter movies. Whatever. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? The classic, classic, classic.
That's a great movie.
It is a fun movie. And
is that a bunny in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
But she said it in such a sexy voice.
She did.
I can't do the sexy voice, sorry. And my other one is Alice in Wonderland, which is a longtime favorite. Follow the bunny down the rabbit hole.
Oh, I guess, yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that as a classic Easter pick, but...
Not a classic Easter pick, but a classic movie.
Mine aren't classic Easter picks either.
What do you got for us?
I have Galaxy Quest. Now, the link with Easter is a little bit Christian.
Please.
We're talking about redemption here, folks. It's one of my favorite redemption-type movies, and it's got spaceships and monsters and great performances by... Tony Shalhoub and a cast of others.
Tim Allen. Actually bearable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yes, he's bearable.
And some Tim. Great quotes. That's just not right.
Yeah, that's true. Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Yeah.
Makes good.
Yeah, does his Shatner impression.
And it's pretty decent.
And it's good, yeah.
In his own little twisted way.
And, oh man, who plays the Spock character? Why don't I remember? Rickman.
Alan Rickman
does an awesome job, too.
Yeah, he's fabulous.
And actually, my second pick on the theme of chocolate, I'm thinking Easter Bunny, like Water for Chocolate.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really great choice. I think I like that one better than Chocolat, actually. So, yeah, that's a very good choice.
I actually haven't seen Chocolat, but I really like...
Like Water for Chocolate.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Good choice.
And I have one more. I'm going to broach the whole sort of religious aspect of it. My favorite Monty Python film, Life of Brian.
Oh, now we're definitely into the very religious.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that film. There's something
somewhere
about the whole crucifix scene at the end where they all start singing on the crucifix that just amuses the crap out of me.
I'm not a big Monty Python fan, but I can still top that.
You know, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen The Life of Brian?
Oh, man.
Okay, well, you're taking that
home. You will be programmed.
Well, I'll trade you for Emily.
Okay, sounds like a plan. And I can top that, and it's not even Passion of the Christ. Ben-Hur, man. Ben-Hur. And on Ben-Hur. I think that's it for today. We're keeping it short. I'm just cutting it right there because I have nothing else to add. Unless you guys have something else to add. Silence.
Silence.
It was a good week, though. Busy week, but a good week. Hopefully we can actually get out and see some more movies this weekend.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to catch up on some of the movies over the
funny
vacation.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Iron Man is getting closer.
May 2nd, right? Nice. That's like
Leatherneck? No, Leatherheads?
Leatherheads is coming up in a few weeks.
Beginning in April.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's looking good. Next couple of months are going to start to pick up. We're going to get some good big blockbusters, and then the countdown to the end of the year.
Oh God!
Again, I know. Hey, it's already March, the middle of March. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Well, the end of March, really.
Yeah. Tad's like getting closer every week.
Oh God. Okay, let's not. Well, that's kind of cool, but everything else kind of like oh.
So everyone, happy spring! It is. It's spring
today. Yesterday.
Today, the 19th.
Thank you for clearing.
And now you know which day we recorded on, yeah. But no, seriously, this, at least in Vancouver, it's been a darker than normal winter. And yeah. I am just enjoying between daylight savings time and the longer days. Spring is wonderful.
I just like getting out of work and it's still light out.
Yeah.
And getting up in the morning and it's still light out.
Looking out the window, it's 6:30 and it's still light out.
That's always nice.
In spite of the overcast.
Yeah, very true. Okay, but we're rambling. So that's the show for today. Come on by Row 3. Leave us a comment. Leave some thoughts. Tell us if you have, what are your Easter picks, if you have any. That'd be kind of cool to see what other people are watching over the holidays. And I guess until the next one.
We'll see you after the credits.